Hello, everyone. My name is Greg, and welcome back to the podcast, My First Season. In this podcast, I interview people who worked in holiday slash ski resorts, hotels, and cruise ships, and we'll talk about their first season in the hospitality and tourism industry. My guest today and I worked together in Club Med Ria Bintan in Indonesia in 2001-2002. Originally from Chicago, now living in Hong Kong with over 1 million followers on Instagram. Everyone, you know him, you love him, Mr. Reggie Martin. Reggie, how are you, sir?
All right. Just a little correction, buddy. I live actually in Macau.
Macau. Okay. I'm sorry. Even better. Macau. So I haven't talked to you a long time, but I am going to mention when we last spoke, because that's a funny conversation. I'll save that for later. How you turned up in a movie I was watching. But for this podcast, you know, it's about hospitality and tourism. So even though we worked together, I don't know much about your first season, or I don't remember it. So I was wondering if you can take me back in time to where you were and what you were doing, you know, where you're living. How'd you find out about Club Med?
You know, I found out about Club Med when I was doing my internship from university. I was doing my internship in Palm Springs, California. I guess I was doing a good enough job that one of the guests approached me and asked me, have I ever thought about working for Club Med? Now, remind you, at that time, I never heard of Club Med in my life. I thought she was talking about Medicare or something. Like, what the heck is she asking me to work at Club Med for some Medicare, you know? And then she explained. And then I didn't. You know, it went in one ear out the other. Then she ended up returning, making a long story short, returning back to the Lawrenceville Resort in Palm Springs, California, and asked me again, have I thought about Club Med? And she explained more about it. And I got very interested in it, gave it a try, did an interview, and that's all she wrote.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So you had never been on a you'd never been to a resort before on vacation?
No, I
just like to ask people that question, like, cause some people had gone to Club Med, but even if they hadn't gone to Club Med, they went to some kind of resort, so they knew a little bit what to expect.
Yeah, thank God I had great parents. As a young child, I went to Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. However, you know, I was very young, so I didn't remember too much of staying in the resort. I just remember Mickey Mouse and all the characters in the airplane ride. But besides that, no, I have not, besides working and doing my internship in the resort.
Did you know what you wanted to do in the resort? What job you wanted to do?
Yes. You know, when I was graduated from college, I always knew I wanted to work outside. And, you know, I graduated with a recreational management degree. So I know I wanted to be involved with doing things outside or recreational in my work, you know, occupation.
Did you have an interview with Club Med? Was it by phone or did you have to travel somewhere? Was it?
You know, I was lucky that the Club Med interview, one of the places was Chicago. So my auntie Jane Artis, you know, she was working downtown Chicago. I had no idea about Chicago that much, you know, and she took me on the subway train and told me where to go. It was very interesting. When I got there, with so many people there doing the interview, got a little nervous, but I was just so confident in myself. I just knew I was going to get the job more than anybody. And I did.
I've interviewed some people about their audition stories, and some had to do crazy signs or they had to do a bit. Did you have to do anything like that on stage?
No. It was just questions they asked, you know, pretty much was I people person and things like that. And I guess how you answer it, they can feel if you Club Med type.
Did they ask you what you wanted to do in that interview in the resort?
You know, I cannot remember.
What year are we in now, Reggie? Sorry.
Now this is 1997. Okay, so I think I did say I would like to work with the kids and with the children's sports, with the, you know, kayaking and you know, the swimming pool and things like that, you know, the land sports, as far as basketball, roller skating and things like that. So I ended up starting Club Med in the mini club and enjoying it with the children's sports.
And where did they send you for your first season?
My first season, I was very upset. I'm thinking I'm going to Bahamas or somewhere, and the first place was Sandpiper.
I knew that's what you're gonna say. Good old North America zone.
So, right. I'm thinking I could do that by myself. I didn't need Club Med for that. you know.
You could have roller skated there.
Right, you know.
All right, so 97, you get to the resort. I guess there was a day off back then, but did you know you had to work like 6 or 7 days?
No. Let's take that. No. We was the first village that started the day off in the Club Med.
Oh, really?
We was the very first village during that time. I don't know what happened. Somebody supposedly had quit, got angry, went to go report it to the U.S. government that we was working with no days off. And we started with the no days off. But however, it was not really a day off, because if you was in the show that night, yes, you would have to come back and do the show.
Or go take a whole day off and come in for 11:30 or midnight for the rehearsal for another show, right?
Right. So it was really not a day off at that time. But we was the first village, you know, Sandpiper was the very first village to start it.
Do you recall the first GO you ever met? Like, was the first GO you saw at the airport or was it at the resort?
The first GO I met had to be at the airport, because, you know, Sandpiper, you know, they pick you up at the airport and bring you in. But the first person I met at the village was Glenda, who ended up being my first boss in Club Med. And the second person I remember, I can't remember if I met her second, but I remember she was just so gorgeous to me that her name was Sophia. And she ended up being Sophia Anka, I think that's her last name, ended up being chief of village, yes, you know. And I just thought she was the most gorgeous thing on the planet at that time. And I just knew, I was like, I thank you. I chose Club Med.
And then you probably requested a taparica in Brazil after meeting Sophia.
Oh, right? Man, yes, I did. I wanted to go to Brazil bad.
Okay. Understood. So you mentioned Glenda Ann, otherwise known as GA, correct?
That's right. That's correct.
Do you recall who your manager, chief of village, was?
Manager, chief of village, who ended up taking me to Bali and all these other wonderful places, ended up being Greg Snyder.
Okay.
Who's ended up, you know, who I owe a lot of this success right here too, because without him, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. And I, you know, I often tell him that I appreciate him, you know, believing and trusting in me.
Did you adjust accordingly? So your first few weeks or months, was it hard, or did you just ease right in?
Yeah, see, you know, I don't remember at the interview them telling us we had to perform every night on stage, right? and you know, I'm glad they did mention that, because maybe I wouldn't have went there. But the wonderful thing about Sandpiper is on the job training, learning. So, they, you know, they throw you up in there. You have no time to really think, you know, and it just ended up, you know, you ended up having fun doing it, because you see everybody else having fun and you ended up, you know, having fun doing it.
So did you know how to dance before you got to Club Med?
Oh, man, you know, I'm a brother, man. You know, we're born with it, brother. We're born with the style.
Okay, but how'd you feel about doing the hokey pokey night after night, though?
Yeah, that was interesting. You know, it took a while to get used to, but you know, okay, you get used to it quick.
You have to, right?
Okay. You have to. You know, you do it, or you know, you take the next plane out.
So after a few months, did you ever think about changing your job, seeing what the other GOs were doing, or were you happy there and you just wanted to learn what you were doing and move up the ladder, so to speak?
Man, you know, I was asked to join the sports team, but I had a chance, as you know, as I told you many a time, the sports team had to do too many responsibilities. So I was looking for the, you know, the job that had the least work. Now, the mini club, it was a lot of stress, but at least we didn't have to get up early and do, you
7
know,
a.m. a 7 a.m. power walk type of thing.
Right. Power walks or arrivals or, you know, the breakdowns and set up. I'm like, oh, no, no, I'm not going there. That's just too. I joined the Club Med to also have a good time and enjoy. Okay. You know, the resort.
So you could have been the greatest land sports GO of all time, but you took a look at that and went, no, sir.
No, sir. You can have it. I want to sit back and enjoy, like I'm a guest sometime.
I appreciate your honesty. Thank you. Yeah, but you're right. Yeah, I did have to do all that. Yeah.
Right. And as you know, we work together. So you know, I disappear.
Oh, yeah. Occasionally in Bintan, I was wondering where you were for those big arrivals. Another emergency in the mini club again. How many emergencies can you have over there?
The emergency at the mini club. I got to go to the mini club. Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. I don't know if there were a lot of Europeans in 97 when you were at Sandpiper. Do you experience any kind of culture shock at all when you got there?
No, not really. My first culture shock was going from East Chicago to university. You going from an all black Hispanic area to all white. That was the culture shock. After that, nothing else really fazed me. You know, so going there, it was pretty cool, you know, seeing all the, it was many French. You know, they came to, you know, Sandpiper. So that was pretty cool to be around a lot of French and the Canadian French and, you know, Quebecois and all of that was really cool. Not a shock, but it was just really cool to work with so many and to, you know, just be around so many Europeans and, you know, and other nationalities that, you know, I would normally not be around if I stayed in East Chicago.
How long exactly was your first season at Sandpiper?
Sandpiper.
Like you arrived there when?
When I arrived there, they told me it was only going to be 6 months and then they'd send me somewhere different. However, that didn't happen. And I tell you a funny story. You know, at the end of 6 months, Greg, who was the chief of village, he would come backstage and tell everybody where they going, you know, Joe, you going to St. Lucia, Lisa, you going to Dominican Republic, and Dylan, you going here. And it seemed like, you know, I wasn't told nothing. So I had it in my mind, you know, this place is racist. He racist, everything, you know. Okay. So I'm going to do I'm gonna finish off and do this. I'm enjoying myself, but after the you know 1 year, I'm out of here. And next thing you know, and that continued like two more times after the 6 months, people was just leaving. You know, I ended up being there for a year, and then he comes backstage one time, and now I'm not even looking because I'm like they racist. They not gonna give me anything. And then he come and touched my shoulder and he said, hey, you are going with me to Bali. You never complained. You never did this. You never did that. And you coming with me to Bali. I could not believe it, brother. Now, I never heard of Bali in my life. I thought he was talking about the Bahamas at first.
Yeah. So do you still remember your jet lag from that trip?
Man, but I remember I asked Dylan or somebody, man, I'm going to Bahamas. And Dylan like, fool, that's Indonesia. I'm like, Indonesia? Indonesia? And ended up going with Greg to Indonesia, man. And Greg, you know, Greg is one of the most truest people I know. And that changed my life, man.
You recall what month you arrived in Sandpiper?
Sandpiper, wow. No, bro. You really testing the boundaries now.
What would have been like a January
it was summer.
So did you have a problem working like your first Christmas or New Year's at all? Did that faze you or was this like any other?
No, you know what, man? I remember. Now, however, I do remember that. I remember because normally I'm at home for Christmas, right?
Yes, exactly.
So that one was, the Christmas was tough, okay, because normally I'm at home with my family. But New Year's, I never did anything for New Year's because, you know, in Chicago, you're safer to be at, you know, in the house than outside because people are shooting their guns up in the air. So we never went anywhere for New Year. So I thought that was the coolest New Year ever, you know, and that was my first time actually really celebrating New Year's with many people around. And I really enjoyed that. And I still think about that from time to time. I really enjoyed that.
Did you come to enjoy Crazy Science eventually?
I did. I came, and especially when they started giving me the mic, you know, that became a fun time. I used it as pretty much like exercise too. Like that was just to exercise to get your blood, you know, running.
Is that where you created Reg Joe Funky or is that another resort?
I brought it. Yes. I, I did bring that to Sandpiper, but that was the second time around.
Okay. Besides that one, do you have any other favorite crazy signs?
Ricky Martin. What was that? Woke up, New York City.
She bangs.
Yeah, she bangs. That was a cool one. There's so many, man. I enjoyed all of them, to tell you the truth. And now that when I hear the music now riding in the car or out somewhere, it takes me back to those days.
Yeah, and you probably have to stop yourself from moving side to side and clapping your hands when you hear it, right? Like me?
No, you know what? You and my boy Scotty, boy, y'all was the ones to do that. You know? Okay. You know, when I left Club Med, you know, I really left it. I never went back to doing the crazy signs. Like, I can't remember any crazy signs right now, to tell you the truth.
Okay. did you like doing the shows?
You know what? I like the funny skits, the dancing, the lip sync contest was cool and all that. When it comes to all the Halloween dancing and all, you know, I wasn't too crazy about that.
Okay. While you're at Sandpiper, did you learn any new skills while you were there, or a sport you never tried? Did you get to do anything?
All the sports I did at Sandpiper was my first time doing it, man. I never went kayaking before in East Chicago.
Water skiing. Do you know any water skiing in Chicago?
No, Dylan them tried to get me up. You know, the trapeze, I did that. I never did that before.
Okay.
Water ski. Even the tube boat, man. I never done that before. You know, never done that before. That was pretty cool.
So were you always an extrovert? Or so when you finally realized you have to eat meals three times a day with the guests, were you shy at all? Or were you just, it was no problem for you? You were always extroverted?
Yes, always. Always been like that. Always been like that. Always been like that. Now, see, that was another thing. You know, the buffets, man. I looked at it probably different than all the other GOs, man. I looked at it like, man, we was living, and I still look at it, we was living a millionaire's lifestyle. You know, we living on the best real estate in the city. We got, you know, themed buffets. You know, we eating, you know, lobsters and all these French cuisines and Italian cuisine food.
Wait a minute. Hold up. You had lobster in your resort? What the?
Yeah. Sandpiper, we had lobster. Bali, we had lobster.
What?
Yeah. Oh,
man, I should have traveled with you.
Okay. Lobster, crab. Yeah. Italian. It was, I really enjoyed it, man. I really enjoyed it. I mean, that was just amazing to me, brother.
So I guess you didn't mind the crazy signs then, because if you had a big meal, then the crazy signs were a way of burning off calories, correct?
That's what I said before. It was kind of like exercising, man. Right. You know, you get out there, exercise, you go to crazy signs, you have fun, you meet new people. I mean, it could be worse, man. Other people going to the steel mills every day. You know, other people got to get up and do, you know, go to the office every day with no window, you know, in a cubicle. And we outside dancing and we complaining about that for 20 minutes. Come on, man.
We had it good, man.
Come on. Next to the sea.
Yeah, next to the sea. You know? Do you have any?
No, I love the theme that they use when I join, life as it should be. You know, that was very true to me. Life as it should be. Having fun, enjoying life.
Yep, that's how they got me too, I'd say. Do you recall any funny experiences your first season in Sandpiper that you could share with us? Like, you know, funny appropriate, I mean. I don't know, something happened. You had a good laugh with the GM. You went on an excursion. Something crazy happened. Do you have any stories?
You know what? When you said appropriate, no, I can't.
Okay. Yeah, appropriate. No, I'm really looking for.
I don't have any, Ben. You know.
Okay, got it.
You know, Greg and when Greg and the rest of the chief of villages used to come there and visit, sometimes they used to get some. It used to be wild, and I'm gonna leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, and you famously, if I recall, haven't drank a drop of alcohol, so you wouldn't have any crazy of those stories that I know. So I'm right, correct?
Like, no.
Yeah, but I knew you didn't drink a drop of anything.
Very correct.
Okay.
Very correct.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I'd have less stories. Oh,
so yeah, those fun stories, is, you know, it was wild, you know.
Got it. Asked and answered.
And people got family. You know, people older now, got families now. It's nothing to talk about.
No. We'll move on. So I can get an idea what you liked about your first season. Was there anything that you didn't like Village Village or Rivals Departures? Was something that you didn't like that you had to do but put up with?
You know what? The politics. I think they could have did better jobs of picking who the chief of services is, as well as chief of villages. You know what I mean? A lot of people. I worked with some people that just probably could have been great leaders if they was trained, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
You know, if they was trained. So that's the only thing, I can, say. But overall, I used to tell myself, look, it can be worse. I'm walking home next to the beach. I'm living on the beach, you're not going to see these people after 6 months or after 1 year anyway. So deal with it.
Very good at
that. That was just my way of thinking. You know, Club Med was good at that. You might have somebody you don't like for 6 months or 1 year, traveling every 6 months or 1 year. You're being transferred to another property. That's what makes Club Med great to me, because companies around the world, you might be working next to somebody you don't like for 20, 30 years.
Yes, yeah, that's very true. no comment. Okay. Were there any besides? Sorry, go ahead.
And you probably had a situation like that too with Last Resort. We worked.
Well, yeah, even if you're talking current job, even if you're talking current job too, sure, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yes.
Besides Greg Snyder and GA, were there any other employees like GOs or managers that stood out to you in a positive way?
Oh man, Hendo, I just told Hendo a couple weeks ago, man, he was a great inspiration and role model, man. You know, Hendo, I had some beer, Kevin Bat, man, it was some good people, man. Very good people.
Did you you bump into any celebrities your first season? I won't talk about your current job, but back then, did you recall meeting any famous people come through Sandpiper at all?
Yeah, you know, we had a couple of NFL players that came through to Sandpiper. Sandpiper would probably have the most, because where it's located at, Bali, but nobody like from Hollywood. Bali, you will have some of the Korean stars or Hong Kong stars come there. But Sandpiper was the one that probably had the biggest, international stars come to, because it's located, in Florida. You're right in the center. You're not too far from Miami. You're not too far from Orlando.
So I'd say you started in 97. Did you stop Club Med in 2004,
three? I stopped Club Med. I came to Macau 2001, December.
Okay. So when I left Ria Bintan, that's right. You stayed behind, but then left soon after, correct?
Yeah. I remember telling you, we having a conversation. I spent the last day with you in Singapore.
That's right.
And I remember I kept telling you, man, this is nice, man. I like Singapore, man. If I can, stay in Asia, and God, I guess, heard my prayer, already had it in the pot cooked.
Okay. Well, that's right. If I recall, you met a gentleman at the pool one day, and that kind of set John you on a path, right?
That's right. That sent me on the path. John Mims is his name, who was the senior vice president of Starwood Hotel Resorts at that time. Now Starwood, as we all know, is under the Marriott brand.
Of all your seasons, starting with Sandpiper, is there any one that you would describe as magical? Was it the first one because it was the first one? Or was there one season that stood out to you so much that, no, this season was magical. I like this one for another reason, but
Bali was magical to me. Me, Greg, and many other GOs from that team, just for us, that worked on that team, no matter where they came from, Club Med, they came from, majority of us, 99% of us would say that was the best time ever to work as a GO under Greg guidance at Club Med Bali. It was just amazing, magical.
How long did you stay at Bali?
2.5 years. I didn't want to leave.
Okay, that's right. Okay, yeah, because I was curious how you met Joker there, if this was like Okay, so I see what happened.
Oh, right. Joker, yeah, my man Joker, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, and if I recall, didn't you go to Bali on one of your vacations when you were in Bintan, or no? Am I remembering that wrong? Did you ever go to?
Yeah, well, I was there at the time when the terrorists attacked.
Yes, okay.
And you was calling, everybody was calling because y'all thought I was in the nightclub.
That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, I just happened to be in a movie theater. Guy was with me. I never been to the theater ever in Bali because normally I would be at that nightclub where Peanut and Guy just had me go to the theater go to the movie that night.
What was the movie that saved your life?
I can't even remember.
Oh, man, you don't remember.
I can't even remember. Right. I don't remember.
No problem.
And man, you know, how scary that situation just, you know, how it just, you know, took off. You know, of course, you get traumatized, you know. So no, I don't remember the movie at all. I wish I did. I need to go back and think what movies that was out at that time that was worth me going that night.
Yeah. Might have been Spider-Man, I think. That was 2001. You
know, that is a good question. I need to go find that out for myself.
So just because this will lead into, I guess, your current job. So about a year ago or a year and a half ago, I'm watching a movie, around 9 o'clock at night here, Montreal time. I'm watching Now You See Me 2. I get midway through the movie and there's a nice luxury van pulls up to a fountain. I see a, you know, handsome young black man, right. Demo, two beautiful. I mean, that looks like Reggie. Nah, that can't be Reggie. I text you. This is crazy, Reggie. Forgive me if I'm bothering you. And you call me right back telling me that was definitely you and Daniel Radcliffe put you in Now You See Me Too. This is true, correct?
That's true. Okay. It was Daniel Radcliffe that put me in it. You know, that's my man. For those who don't know who Daniel Radcliffe is, it's Harry Potter, and his real name is, you know, Daniel Radcliffe. But yeah, he was the one that got me in the movie, man. It's funny, man. It's funny, amazing, and unbelievable all at the same time.
Yeah, and no zero heavy lifting for you as an actor. You're dressed to kill. You have two beautiful women, one in each arm. And I'm like, geez, you know, come on. This is not acting. This is Reggie in real life, right?
Man, he just put me in the movie. I did on the spot. That's what I just had on at work.
That's what I was gonna say,
you know. And he said, yeah, it was on the spot, had me in the movie. I said, man, Daniel, you my man. And that's one of my favorite movies, to tell you the truth. I love Now You See Me Too.
Yeah, well, I like the first one, so I said, yeah, I'll check out the second one. And sure enough, there's my old friend right smack dab in the movie. But of course,
yeah, you know, I like both of them.
In your current job, you probably meet many celebrities now that, you know, Asian and North American. And
Yes. Some very, you know, this started way before I even joined Club Med. You know, my best friend, as you know, back in the day in high school was Glenn Robinson, you know, better known as Big Dog.
That's right.
So when he was the number one high school basketball player in the world, you know, I was going everywhere with them and stuff. And then at basketball camp, you know, I'm meeting all these people at basketball camp or with Glenn at the time, Chris Webber and Juwan Howard and all these guys. I met Michael Jordan and all that. I was through Glenn. And then through Glenn, I met my other best friend, who we best friends to this day, is Rashard Griffith. And he was another top player. He was younger than us, but he was, you know, he was on the front cover of the Sports Illustrated as a seventh grader, you know. So, you know, when I started being with him too, you know, he was one of the top basketball players, and now he's a Hall of Famer out at, you know, high school basketball player from Illinois. He's one of the top that ever come out of Chicago. You know, I was meeting so many people, right? And I just had the personality for. So at that time, I really wanted to be an NBA agent, you know, at that time. And that's what I really wanted to be, was an NBA agent. So I was around all these, you know, future stars at that time. You know, I wanted to be, you know, I really wanted to be an NBA agent. Just didn't know, you know, didn't have the right direction and connections to point me to it. But it all worked out. I can't complain.
So how long now, how many years have you been in hospitality and tourism, roughly?
Wow, since 97.
Okay. So you have the you know, rare distinction of working for resorts and hotels. Do you have a preference?
As far as what?
Well, do you prefer resorts over hotels, or you like them both the same because both offer?
You know what? They both different, and I like it. I like them both, depending where it's at. Course you would, you know, who wouldn't want to work, you know, if you in the hospitality, if you're a hotelier, who wouldn't want to work in Las Vegas or downtown Chicago or New York or London or Paris or the peninsula or something, right? And if you want to go to the resorts, who wouldn't want to work in Hawaii or Bali or you know all these beautiful places, you know, Spain or whatever, you know? So they both have their, you know, great points about them.
Now, one last question about your first season. Did you have a nickname when you got there, or did you pick up a nickname when you got there, that when you were on your badge, or was it just an unofficial nickname? Did you ever get that in Club Med?
No. What was my nickname?
Oh, no, I'm asking if you ever got one, because most people pick up one, or they come to Club Med with a nickname, you know, they acquire one.
Oh, well,
later.
They probably come because their names was too difficult to pronounce, so they had to come up with something.
Okay, so you were Reggie, Reg.
I was Reggie.
Okay.
I was Reg. But, but back at home now, no, everybody calls me House, but no, in Club Med, I was Reggie.
They call you what?
And people had, you know, House was my nickname.
Why?
But man, I was in the house all, you know, a lot of times, okay. On punishment or something.
Okay. I thought because you won a lot of casinos. I don't know.
Okay. No, my parents didn't play around, man.
Okay.
And thank God it happened like that, you know.
Yeah, it's nothing worse than getting punished in the summer. Whoo boy, that I.
Whatever it takes to keep you going in the right direction. I guess, you know, you look at my life now, they paid off.
Yes, I would say.
It paid off, so I can't complain about nothing.
Yeah, I've been going through your Instagram feed here. Yeah, I'd say it paid off a lot there. You can find him Reggie Martin 10, by the way. I'll put the link in the bio after, but go check him
out. All them days in the house gave me a lot of time to think, man, when you're on doing hard time. Yeah.
Like what? They ran out of treadies or something? Come on, man.
You know, it's a hard time, man. You think of a lot of stuff, man, how to be successful.
You have any last words to say, Mr. Reggie Martin, on this podcast?
And I appreciate you, Greg. It was nice working with you in Bentown. Wish we could have worked some more somewhere as you as the chief of village, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, you made it. Yeah, I mean, I was told about you, so you lived up to the hype when I met you, and you were a great friend to me over there, and you helped me survive over there.
Man, we took care of each other mentally, man, you know. And you was in Bentown, what, 2 years?
No, I stayed 1 year, but if you recall, when I got there, it was the first season after September 11, and I tell people, you know, it was such a bad time, but also for resorts, because we had maybe 20 people a week, but we had to act like we were 600. So you had to have the same amount of energy for 600. So even though there was no one in the resort, you had to like amp it up every day and pretend that there were 500. So it was that was draining, I thought.
That was a club. You know, Club Med's all around the world. We had to do the same. I was in Sandpiper at that time. Yeah. So, yeah.
But you think if you had 20 guests, you could, you know, relax a bit, but no way. You still had to put on the sandcastle competition. You know, everything went on as usual. The crazy signs with two people at the pool, you know, but you had to, you know, pump it out every day. So that I found exhausting, you know.
You know what? Aria was my chief of village at that time in Sandpiper when that 9/11 happened. She, you know, we all took it hard. She took it hard. So she did a great job of respecting, you know, the victims and things like that. So we didn't go hard with 20 people. What we did do was do candlelight, you know, events and stuff at nighttime to honor the people that, you know, was killed in that tragic accident. Well, accident, not accident, but terrorist attack. You know, it wasn't stressful. You know, she, you know, everybody was still traumatized what was going on. So she handled it very well.
No, but the candlelight vigils, that's nice.
Yes.
Very nice gesture.
I wish I would wish we had the phones like now back then. That was something I would have loved to have on video, because that was, you know, That was, you know, that was a time in our lifetime that, you know, that would never be forgotten.
Yeah, you brought up phones. And one of my questions, sometimes I ask, sometimes I don't, is social media. So are you sad or glad that we didn't have it back then, like 97?
Wow, great question, man. Great question. In high school, I'm glad we didn't have it. College, I'm glad we didn't have it. As I left college, I wish we had them then. You know, because now, you know, you become a grown man and now you're traveling, right? So I did a good job. You know, you the one got me on buying the video, the little small video camera, because you had yours everywhere.
That's right.
That's you know, so thank God I have to find those, you know, somehow I need to find those, all those tapes that I misplaced and somehow transfer that to a CD or something or a chip. Yeah, I guess, you know, I did get a chance to do a lot of stuff. I do have the CD and stuff when we went to Singapore with Aziz and stuff to do, not Singapore, Taiwan and things like that. So,
I do recall filming also like a chief of service outing we did at that beautiful
hotel
there.
Yes. And you sent that to me before too.
That's right. Yeah.
So yeah, that was great. I wish I would have had that early on, the camera. Yeah, but
and if we had Instagram, you'd probably have 2 million followers by now, right?
Oh man, if the Instagram, man, how we was living, bro, and all the stuff we was doing. Oh man, if the people in Club Med right now, the GOs is not using that in their, you know, in the correct way to benefit from in the future, man, they crazy, bro. You can monetize a lot of the stuff you do in Club Med. You know, you can show that you are all around, really, you're all around work, you know, because we did everything in Club Med. You know, who do you want to hire in a hotel? Do you want to hire somebody who only can do one thing? Or you go to Club Med, someone who was trained to do everything?
That's right.
You know.
I tell employers.
You get all that on video.
Well, I tell employers, look, if you see Club Med on the resume, grab that person. He's not afraid or she's not afraid of hard work. You know, I mean, take them.
No. But if they recording all that, you know, and using it in the right way, that they can really benefit from that and in the future. You know, really, you know, Bentan, I don't have really nothing from Bentan, you know. It's so much stuff, man. But at the same time, it taught us how to communicate better. We were still communicating really well without the telephones. Exactly. You know, back then we had beepers.
Yeah. or the walkie-talkie. Yeah.
or walkie-talkie, you know, but you know, we communicate. You know, it's frustrating now when we talking to other people who don't, you know, they'd rather see your text message than to walk over to the other side of the office and tell you and talk, you know, and talk to you personally.
That's right. Do you have any advice for any future GO listening to this? Like, should they try Club Med? What would you say to them?
For future GO,
Somebody listening to Club Med? Yeah, should they do it?
Well, if they in the hospitality, I would highly recommend Club Med. You know, Club Med is a great, I call it a great school. It's a great training school, you know, training ground. You get great training from Club Med. Why not? And it's 6 months contract. So if you don't like it after 6 months, you can leave. You know, you can't beat that.
Well, Reggie, I really want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart for coming on the show today. It means a lot to me. You said yes. I really do appreciate it.
And I appreciate you for asking me, my brother. Thank you.
Thank you. So
everyone, you only contact me when you need something. I'm used to it. Greg.
Here we go. Yeah. So if you want to check him out on Instagram, he's at Reggie Martin 10. Let's bump him up to 1.1, please, folks. All right. I'm going to put the link in the bio after. That was the one, the only, my friend, Reggie Martin. We'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.